Welcome to Elgin Movie Watchers Podcast. I'm Chuck Slotkin, and I'm here with my co-host for this episode, Steve Gould and Ian Slotkin.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
Well, here we are, and our agreed-upon topic was horror films. And, I mean, for me, this was something to think about because I really consciously avoided what would be considered horror films for most of my life. I mean, I did not enjoy them. And of course, horror film, it's a broad topic. So I'm sure there are others out there who maybe feel, you know, we may be in a minority, but have avoided these films. But what I did do is I went online and put in, you know, the greatest horror films of all time, get a list. So there was a list of 240 horror films. And I went through them and I found out that of the 240 best, I've seen 12.
Okay, that's a start.
Oh yeah, that's the finish, I think.
Oh, I see. Okay, but yeah, no, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not as it wasn't as unpleasing for me with horror movies. My wife Nancy really enjoys them, and I have bruises on my arm to show. What happens with scary horror films. But I enjoy a lot of the films, and some of the films that, you know, I want to talk about might not fall into that category. I mean, when you're talking about like Halloween and stuff like that, of course, the movie Halloween is something that people talk about, as well as, let's say, Friday the 13th. But I didn't want to necessarily talk about them. I'm going to be talking about other films that I think fall into that category, but more suspenseful than evisceration movies. But so where do you fall in this bailiwick, Ian?
So as a child, I was scared horribly from Nightmare on Elm Street and those films. I'm a child of the 80s, so I hated all those slasher films, which were the biggest thing at that point. But then I came to love horror films and really loved the classic horror films and movies up until like the early 2000s. I think once like things got really just super, like I like horror films, but I don't like the grotesque stuff. Like I don't like the gore. Like, yeah. I mean, I watched the slasher film, but I'm saying like the gore now is so much more over the top and realistic because it doesn't look as fake as it used to. So it's not as campy and fun. It's like, it's like literally these movies are terrifying and I don't want to watch them. And I don't want to picture a little girl coming out of my television or, you know, anything like that, or someone in the shower with me. So, you know, I'm hit or miss with them, you know, and Lindsay, my girlfriend, doesn't like them and doesn't like horror films. So I have taken that out of my life. It's funny, leading up to this Halloween, I kind of was just like, after, you know, the 3 years we've been together and living together, basically since the quarantine, I was just like, you know, I kind of miss like being able to throw on, you know, a classic horror film, you know,
right.
And or even something new that I'm curious about or people say is good, but I don't. And, you know, I had to actually kind of scratch that itch in a way this Halloween, during this October, leading up to Halloween, to find movies that I can watch that I qualify as Halloween films that won't be too scary for Lindsay, and we can actually sit down and watch them. Like I just rewatched Ghostbusters, which I think is a very fun Halloween film, family-friendly Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, there are films that you would say, horror films, but, or, you know, something like that. But well, to bring him up again, we'll start with Polanski. I mean, is that Fearless Vampire Killers was really a comedy, even though it was, you know, about vampires. And same thing with American Werewolf in London, you know, or Young Frankenstein. So I mean, there's that type of thing. But I wanted to bring up what you were saying really about gut-wrenching scary. When Nancy and I were first together, she was watching a film. I had dozed off, an Italian director, Dario D'Argento. And there's a movie that he made, an Italian starring Tony Mezzante and stuff, called The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. And she was so scared by it that she woke me up so I could walk her to the bathroom. So you can see that the movies like that can affect people. For Nancy, a movie like that that affected me, which is not necessarily a horror film, but incredibly suspenseful. And it, you know, could be that you could jump out of your seat at it, was the only movie that Charles Laughton ever directed, Night of the Hunter, which had Robert Mitchum as this sociopath. It had on four of his fingers, he had love. On the other four fingers, he had hate. And he was going after people looking for money. And, there's a great scene of Shelley Winters in a car with her hair floating in the water because she was killed. And he's going after the kids singing Bring in the Sheaves. And it's very frightening, but it's not like you're saying one of these over the top, you know, Halloween, or like you say, the over-the-top movies now where the blood's pouring out all over the place. What were the 12, one of the 12s that you had, Chuck?
One of the ones that I had seen?
Yeah.
Or what do you want to talk about? Whatever.
No, I'm going to answer that question. So of the 240, which again is different, then I went back and looked at classic horror films, which is a whole other story because...
Sure.
Again, how I got into that is yet another story. But like Alien, Psycho, The Exorcist, The Shining, Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yep.
Fly and Repulsion, I mentioned before. And then again, on this list, Eraserhead and Videodrome. That's it. But again, when you deal with what horror is so broad, because again, suspense, as many of the films that I've seen of those 12, are really more like suspense films than outright horror films. And again, that whole blood and guts thing and the stuff that Ian's talking about now, you know, slasher films, all of that stuff, again, people look as horror. But, you know, so in a sense, it's like a good suspense film I can watch. It's like
the visceral stuff.
Yeah, it's like I want to be able to go to the bathroom without calling up Steve, you know.
And to me,
it's not fun. It's never been fun for me to be scared.
Yeah. No, there was a movie called Crimes of Passion, Tony Perkins in it, and Kathleen Turner. And she was an architect by day and a hooker by night. And it was kind of scary. And there's a movie theater, well, it's changed its name now, but in our neighborhood in the village that was called the Waverly. And this movie was playing there. And we really wanted to see it, but we couldn't find two seats together. So Nancy found a seat and I did. And when the movie ended, I was walking and I saw Nancy, you know, and I was saying to her, wow, that was something. And the guy that was next to her says, is this your wife? I said, yes. And he says, I pity you. And he showed me his forearm because she had grabbed it and scratched him when the film was there. So, you know, people can react amazing. I did want to bring up something, Chuck, about when you said classic horror films. There were a number of those films that we did play in repertory at the Elgin, that Danish film Haxan, we played that. We played the original Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there are things, and Dracula with Bela Lugosi. Yeah, we played those. And I think that one thing that Ian was talking about in terms of like the new wave, where you know, more blood is better and more, you know, entrails are better. But I think one of the movies that stands out for me as like beginning of like early horror films was the 68 movie that George Romero made that you mentioned, Night of the Living Dead. I mean, that movie, I think, was changing things. You know, in the 60s, we started getting more into that, and it opened things up. So I don't know, maybe. And also then in what was it, 1980 or 79, it really went full tilt with Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
yeah.
which has had six or seven incarnations of it.
Right. So, some of them are even movies.
More. I think more than that.
Yeah.
It's been remade twice, and those have had sequels. It's like, it never ends.
Self-generating.
Yeah.
Part 32.
I mean, for me, the first movie, Chuck's already mentioned this before, is one of the best. The first horror film that I like kind of fell in love with and was blown away by, I think, was The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
William Peter Blatty's The Exorcist. That's how they always say it. It was an amazing film. I was obsessed with it. And it's funny because I think I actually saw little bits and parts of Exorcist 3 before I saw Exorcist 1. And didn't see 2. I've never seen 2. I've avoided it like the plague.
Yeah.
I saw 1. 3 works. If you're a fan of the film and you've never seen 3, go watch 3. It also has Patrick Ewing in one of his only roles on film.
Wow.
As an angel. George C. Scott's phenomenal in it, picking up that role. And that had one of the big jump scares for me, which is I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but there's some good ones. But yeah, so The Exorcist, and then from there, I just kind of, me and my cousin, I used to go, he lived in Queens, he never lived in California.
Not yet.
And I would go and visit him, and on the weekends, I'm from Manhattan, he's from Queens, so I'd go out there and hang out with him, and one of our things is like, we'd go and hang out with his friends, we'd get all messed up, go get some Taco Bell, get some 7-Eleven, and then we go to the video store and we get horror films. And we just like went through the whole horror, section of his video store, basically, and just discovered so many films from that, and that's how I discovered Don't Look Now, is not
the
necessarily
dwarf in the shower.
Spoilers. But, we can't ruin these horror films for people. If you haven't seen it, it's more psychological throughout most of it. And then at the end, I was rip-roaring stoned when I saw this film. And at the end, when that twist happens, it scared the crap out of me. And I jumped out of my seat, not expecting to see what I saw. And also, you get your full frontal on Donald Sutherland, if you're into that. But yeah, so those are two of my favorites. And one movie I wanted to bring up, which was a 2003 release, I want to say, or 2001, 2003. One of the very early, early digital films. And it was like to the point where it still looked like digital videotape. It didn't look like digital film does now, and it kind of gives it almost this kind of post Blair Witch Project, so it kind of had that homemade vibe to it, but it wasn't actually supposed to be homemade. But basically, it's a movie called Session 9.
Oh, I heard of that. I never saw it. Yeah,
which stars David Caruso and Peter Mullen.
Oh, okay.
He's the star, and then it has like people like young Josh Lucas and Brandon Sexton III, who's a younger actor at the time. These guys are going in, they're contractors, and they take out asbestos out of old buildings. And the guy who's the lead undercuts the people by so much that they give him the job because he really needs a job. And they go into this old psychiatric hospital that's abandoned and to clean out all the asbestos. And then, weird stuff starts happening from there. But I don't really like when movies have that look of digital, but that movie doesn't bother me. And I think it's really good. You should check it out.
That concept of the mental hospital sounds like the basis of what DiCaprio used for Shutter Island then. I don't know if you...
This is so much better than Shutter
Island. Oh, yeah. Shutter Island was just...
That mental hospital is also like another character in the film. Everything they use and shoot, how they shot it. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I do have to mention one of, and Chuck will remember this from The Elgin, one of my favorite directors, an old MGM director from early sound days that many people to this day really appreciate, and that's Todd Browning. And Todd Browning did a movie called Freaks. And they actually used physically challenged one woman that was called the Pinhead. And then they had a guy who had no arms, but would smoke cigarettes. And I always remember because there was a line, the people in the sideshow of this circus realized somebody was really manipulating things. And the classic line, and I use it sometimes with people, is offend one and you offend them all. And I thought, wow, this is a heavy duty film. And I had to throw that into the mix because it's really one of my all time favorites.
Todd Browning's Freaks, as it's known as. I would almost ask Steve how many times he's seen it, because when we played it at the Elgin, you would find Steve in the theater more than this film. Before any other ones we showed.
It was, I don't know what was with that film, but it's just really, and you know, one of the things that the another movie we played there, you know, we're talking about like American films now, but there was a really terrific Japanese film that we played as part of the Samurai series, you know, on Thursdays then, but it was a horror story about ghosts called Kira Niko. You know, this guy came in and he wound up raping the mother and the daughter and then murdering them. And then a ghost is coming after them and the samurai. I mean, it was really, you know, that's one that you could jump out of your seat to the way it was directed.
You mentioned that. Now I'm thinking of a film that I can't even remember its name or if we showed it at the Elgin, but I remember us screening it and we came up with the name Blind Fields for it.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything that had so much gore, explicit depictions of, you know, like limbs flying everywhere and people being cut up and whatever. I can't imagine that I even watched that film. But did we ever end up showing it or the midnight show once or something?
Yeah,
or?
I think we showed it at midnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and do you remember what the name of it was?
I don't know. Is that the one that we wound up calling Warehouse? Or
yeah, that's it. Warehouse. Very good, Steve. Yeah. I knew it was something with a W there.
But. Yeah. And, you know, Ian touched upon them. But, you know, one of the other movies that was a riot, I mean, they're chewing the scenery up and everything, but I thought it was a hoot to watch, was Blackula. I don't know if either of you saw it, but it was really... really over the top.
I'd like to take a minute again, if it's all right, to talk about how I, being like an 11, 12-year-old kid, you know, who was avoiding anything like this, got into watching the classic core horror films, you know, Dracula, Wolfman, The Mummy, those kinds of films. And that was specifically because of a television show called Shock Theater that was hosted by Zachary,
right.
And Zachary had come in from Philadelphia and he brought his act with him, and basically he would have his wife would be in the coffin on the set, and he'd be dressed as like an undertaker with makeup and all this stuff. But what he would do while he was showing the films, he would be off stage and act out something that was a comic aspect of it, or made the film seem funny. And the whole thing was to watch what Zachary was going to come up with, not just with the classics, but also, you know, with less than classic films. But I really got into watching these films and like the humanity of, say, Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, or what Frankenstein went through, you know, learning that, well, wait a minute, that wasn't the name of the monster. That was the doctor. Experiments. It was just the and I really got connected to those films primarily
thanks to Zachary.
But I'm saying, so Zachary, and then he was given a teenage dance show on a New Jersey public station that he did in costume.
The and Monster then, Mash.
Well, that was one of his songs. But I'm saying that he did the show in costume, you know, having high school kids coming in dancing and whatever. And then he started doing what was, you know, called progressive rock radio, and he became a DJ. And somewhere along the line and during those years, I contacted him to thank him for what he had done for me when I was a kid. Got to meet him a couple of times. And he lived to like 2016. When he died, he was 98.
Oh my God! Well, you know, he started that. I mean, then you had that woman, the long hair and the big cleavage and stuff. And now Nancy and I watch sometimes to see the movies. They're very hokey, but we watch because he's hokey too, is Venguli, who's on television now on a small channel that comes out of, I don't know, Middletown, New Jersey or something, where he hosts things and he does shtick about the film that he's showing. So, yeah, I mean, it's, it's something that I guess people, you know, maybe in nervousness like to have a little comedy involved with their blood and guts.
Well, you know, it helped me be able to accept it, get into it, you know, much more so than I would have without that experience. And, you know, if films are big enough, even if they fall into that category, then watch them. But again, say like The Birds, that's a suspense film. Whatever it is, but I'm saying, but you know, it's listed as the horror film, and the Fly, right? These are films that I did.
Oh,
did
The Fly. See. Help me, help me. Yeah.
That I did.
You know, you realize, Chuck, that Hitchcock could not make The Birds now because there's no more telephone booths.
That's it.
I know what you're saying. Those kind of movies, people wouldn't think of them necessarily as horror movies. But I mean, I also have to compliment that guy M. Night Shyamalan on his, I guess it was his first movie. I don't know, Ian, you'd probably know this better. The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment.
That was his first big film, yeah.
I think he did a good job because, you know, we don't want to have any spoilers here, but he held me on to the end. I was very surprised at the end of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it was nothing but downhill from there for him. Just to say, I mean, The Birds could be a period piece. It could be made now and just be a period piece.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
I mean, I would say The Birds is a horror film, but I would say if they kept it 3D like he wanted to do,
then
it would have been a horror film, definitely.
Oh yeah, yeah, that could have got people running out of the theater. But even that scene, the shower scene with Janet Leigh in Psycho. I mean, to this day, I think there's many women that if they've seen that are still nervous about going in the shower if there's no one else in the house, you know.
Yeah, so, definitely. No, yeah. I mean, Hitchcock was the master of suspense, and some of his films, I guess, qualify as horror, but, you know, it's that teetering line of what's suspense, what's horror, you know, in that regard.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like his Interview with a Vampire a horror film because it has vampires in it? No.
Well, that's true. No, I think you're right about that. I know that I'm just going to bring this up because it's something that surprised me out of looking through a lot of the horror movies that I remember or I saw and, you know, and everything like that, the lists. I think this is the only one I can think of. Maybe you guys can think of another one of a compilation. But in 1968, three pretty famous directors, they were, who was it? Louis Malle and Roger Van Diem and Federico Fellini. And they made a movie called Spirits of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
And they each had a sequence. So that was like three mini movies and they were very suspenseful. I wouldn't say they were horror movies, but they were very suspenseful movies. And I never thought of, most of the time you think of, you know, suspense or horror films as just one movie, but this was vignettes.
We played that at the Elgin.
Yeah. We did indeed.
Like would Bram Stoker's Dracula be a horror film? I guess that qualifies.
Yeah.
But speaking of vampires, before there's the one movie, I don't know if you've ever seen it. They've now made it into an American film. Then they also now have a television series, I think, based on it. But it's called Let the Right One In. It's a Swedish film.
Oh, I never heard of it. What's that's what the movie's called? Let the Right One In.
Yes, it deals with two kids. It's a girl. The little girl is a vampire, and she meets this boy, and then they kind of, you know, have this kind of like kindled, you know, relationship or friendship or whatever. But you know that it's an interesting film, but it's definitely I would say it's a horror film.
Well, that was leading up with you talking about kids. Reminds me of that English film, Children of the Damned. I mean, yeah, it's probably not a horror film, but it's a suspenseful film and could get people agita on Halloween.
Yeah, going back to the plethora of movies that my cousin and I watched together, one of our favorites was Evil Dead. That was, I think, I'm not a huge fan of the rest of the trilogy or whatever saga, whatever it is now. But that first film, I mean, we would sit there and laugh our heads off, and it was just so ridiculous. That's more of a comedy, but it's definitely still gross out horror, but it's done at a point where the effects weren't as good, even as the effects that were going on at the same time. So,
yeah,
it can't be.
I know they've made a few sequels of it, but I still think the 1951 movie starring James Arness as The Thing from Another World, because that was the real name of it, not just The Thing. I still think that's the best out of all of the ones.
I would consider even Alien and Aliens, horror film. I would.
I would too.
Those things are terrifying.
That was the first one on that list.
Yeah.
The number one horror film on the list of 240 is Alien.
Sorry, did you say that before?
There's another movie, speaking of like kitschy or, talking about Blackula or vampire killers. And the guy who made it, he was I shouldn't besmirch him, but he's dead. A schlocky producer out in Hollywood called William Castle. And he made a lot of movies. One was 13 Ghosts. And you had to put these glasses on in the movie theater if you wanted to see the ghosts. If you didn't, you just left them off. And then he made another movie. I don't know how he did it and how he got theater owners to go for it, but a movie called The Tingler, where you're supposed to get a little charge in your seat when the tingler came into the room and stuff. There's a lot of that stuff that, it was almost like you had some people that were veterans of the carny, the carnival circuit that were out there in Hollywood trying to kitsch things up.
Well, another one of his films is one that really impacted me, The House on Haunted Hill, the original House on Haunted Hill.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
It took me years to not be afraid of Vincent Price. He could be on an afternoon quiz show, and I don't want to see this guy.
And he was, we just saw on late night television, we watched it again. And speaking of 3D, Ian, that was supposed to be in 3D, and in about four or five theaters, it did come out in 3D, was the MGM movie starring Vincent Price called House of Wax, where he was taking damsels in distress, making them naked and then covering them in wax. So, the mind reels.
Also has been remade. Most of these films have been remade.
Oh, yeah, they have. So I wonder if we've given inspiration to people for their Halloween movie viewing.
Yep.
Well, I also wanted to give an option just in case people don't want to watch scary films, to still want to watch Halloween films. there's some hollow, obviously there's Young Frankenstein, like was mentioned earlier. That's a fun one to watch. There's Hocus Pocus. They just came out with a sequel that's on Disney Plus. So if you have Disney Plus and you want to watch those two movies, it's about witches, Bette Midler, always Kathy and Jimmy.
What do you think about Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow? Is that funny?
I wouldn't say it. I mean, Johnny Depp is funny in it, but I don't think the movie's supposed to be funny.
Oh, okay.
But, Christopher Walken as the Headless Horseman is always, great.
Yeah.
An 80s classic that I liked as a child called Monster Squad.
I don't know that.
That was it's a really campy, stupid movie about, it's like basically think of Goonies, but with Dracula, the Mummy, and Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing. And we do find out that the Wolfman does have nards. So, and then, obviously the ultimate classic, which is not obviously scary. I recommend if anyone is interested in watching Halloween now that they've revamped the series yet again for the third time and basically continue, try to erase certain stories and go forward with it with Jamie Lee Curtis, I would say skip the new ones. Just go back, watch the original one, watch the second one, because that was an amazing feat by John Carpenter to make a film and then do an immediate pickup from the second film picks up right where the first film ends and just goes on with that night. I think that's an amazing double feature. And then I would skip every other Halloween film and then watch Halloween H2O, which is Halloween 20 years later with Jamie Lee Curtis, Josh Hartnett's in it, LL Cool J's in it. It's the perfect end to the film, but then they kept making more and then they revamped it. And then now they went back. It's, you know, so what I would say, if you're into Halloween and you're curious about Michael Myers, just watch the first one, watch the second one that were made in the 70s by John Carpenter, and then watch Halloween 20 years later. H2O.
Very good.
That's good. All right. I think we did our duty, as they say.
I have one more film to talk
performing, about. Oh, okay, sure.
I don't know how you guys responded to it, but I know it certainly impacted upon me, and I haven't seen it. So I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't know if it holds up. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's, I mean, yeah, it is in a sense of, you know, people, you know, 20-something saw it. They said, oh, man, this is dated. This is hokey. Yeah, it might seem that way, but, you know, like Kevin McCarthy, I liked it. I mean, because it did keep you in suspense. I mean, it wasn't hokey like the attack of the 50-foot woman or something. I mean, it could in a sense hold up, you know,
right.
This could happen.
Yeah, it was right. They could have body snatchers from another planet come and replace us. That could very well happen.
Yeah. and maybe could has. Be.
But I know it worked with me seeing it. Yeah. I think it came out in 56 or something. So it's, you know.
Yeah, it was in the 50s.
Yes, it's 56.
Yeah, so it was powerful. Yeah. But it's the kind of thing where I think to myself, do I want to go back and watch it and see that it will probably look hokey or keep it in my mind the way the impact of it happened? Because, you know, originally it began because people thought people were being crazy by thinking that their loved ones had been replaced. I mean, that was the original thing, that there was this mass psychosis going on. So it was, anyway, so I just wanted to throw that one out. And I don't know if people can check out Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Not the remake he's talking about. He's not talking about the Donald Sutherland. So the 1956 Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah,
and it's amazing that they haven't remade that since 78.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that hasn't been remade.
Yeah, play it again, Sam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, that's we really filled the basket with suspense and horror, and the only thing that we didn't offer the people today was candy corn.
Well, they got a full basket. They can't complain about that for Halloween.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you guys, and we'll look forward to doing our next episode, because it does get paleo. So you can follow us on Twitter at Elgin Movie, Instagram at Elgin Movie Watchers, Facebook Elgin Movie Watchers Podcast, and you can always write to us via email at elginmoviewatchers@gmail.com. You know, we'd like to hear from you, any suggestions you have for topics for the future, because, you know, despite what you say, we're going to keep doing this.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ian, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you at the pass. All right.
Happy Halloween to everyone.
There you go.
Happy Halloween. Yeah.